Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts. This is the prayer module, and we're in part four, the final part. And I tell you, I just want to encourage you, the book of Acts is not only a history book. It is the blueprint of the church. It's God's blueprint for us. And I believe that this blueprint really is on the inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But as we go into the book of Acts, I believe it's going to unlock understanding, revelation of how to operate in the days that we live in. I believe that before Jesus comes, which I believe is soon, that there is going to be a manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, and it's going to shake this world that we live in. I believe the church isn't going to go out weak. I believe it's going to go out in glory. So let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you for this subject, this wonderful study. And Father, we pray that a spirit of prayer would envelop us to become men and women of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you, when we started this study on documented prayer in the book of Acts, we began with Luke 11 and verse 1. It says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" One thing you find with Jesus, he was a man of prayer, and the disciples loved to be with him in prayer. In fact, the atmosphere of peace was so amazing as he prayed, they often would just go to sleep. They were overwhelmed by it. And so often he had to teach them, "Hey, you guys need to wake up and pray too." And I believe that changed as they matured. But we're no different. But I want you to think about Hebrews 5, verse 7, that in the days of his flesh, in Jesus' flesh, that when he prayed, he would offer up his petitions and his prayers, sometimes with such loud crying out to God who could save him. Jesus prayed in many different ways, and there were times in his prayer life that he was rather loud. And there was emotion, and there was fervency. Prayer has to be real. Prayer has to have emotion in it. Now, prayer has to be of faith. Faith has to be the operational spirit of it. But you know what? It can come out with emotion. God gave us emotion so that we wouldn't just be mundane. We have to be expressive. And so there were times where Jesus was under such burden, the emotion of it, he would be releasing his faith and his yearning for God. And there was emotion. And so I want you to think about also Mark 1:35, that Jesus got up before the sun came up and went out and prayed. So before anyone else was awake, he was already up and he was praying. The Bible also says that in Luke 6, verse 12, before he ordained his apostles, we talked about it, he spent the whole night in prayer. So did Jesus have all-night prayer meetings? Apparently, yes. He often would fast. He would put aside food. And he would begin to, in his natural hungering, begin to hunger for God so that the voices of his flesh would weaken and the hunger of his spirit, the voice of his spirit in faith, would be stronger in receiving from the Lord. And then also in Matthew 12, verse 29, he talked about binding the strong man. He talked about that there is evil in the world. He was always up against it. I mean, his life was a continual battle, it seems like. And he taught the disciples, you're going to have to bind the strong man. So therefore, in Matthew 18, 18, he said, "Whatever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall be loose in heaven." What I'm trying to get to is Jesus didn't just teach this, he lived it. Those apostles watched him. They watched him binding the powers of darkness in his prayer time and releasing the glory of God, the Holy Spirit of God into the situations. And let me tell you something. Don't ever think that the devil wasn't trying to build walls to dam up the move of the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, no, no. You know, the Bible says that there's a well of water springing up. Have you ever felt dammed up? You need a breakthrough. There's also a river of God that flows out of us. Has that ever felt dammed up? Oh, of course it is. We live in a world where there's darkness. Well, Jesus demonstrated in his prayer life that he had to bind and he had to break things and he had to release things. And there was always glory. Well, these apostles, they carried that over into their prayer life. And that's what we've been looking at. The realities of different types of prayer expressed in different ways. Prayer is a living, breathing reality in our lives. And, you know, I told a man the other day, I said, you have to be very careful about the churches that you go to, the church that you go to. And I said, if you go to a boring church where God comes across as boring, you could end up going to hell because you think that God is boring and that he's not worthy to serve. No, you better go to a church that teaches you how wonderful God is, how exciting God is, that God is full of adventure and God is full of life. And when you go into prayer, that's how you pray. So now let's go ahead and get into the study today on prayer. And the Bible says in, this is number 21, Acts 21, verse 5, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they brought us out with their wives and children until we were all out of the city. We knelt down upon the shore and prayed. Now, this is in Tyre. And Paul had come through. He had been spending time with the believers there, the church there. And it was time for him to go. And in this passage, we see the first time the mention of a prayer meeting where husbands, wives, and children, the complete family, they were all together in this prayer meeting. And they all got together around Paul and they began to pray. Paul was leaving. And so they walked with him outside the city over to where the shoreline was and they began to commune with the Lord. I think this is probably one of the examples of prayer in the book of Acts that touches me pretty deeply. They loved Paul. Paul loved them. And I'm sure later in life, or maybe as he began to sail away, the thoughts, the memories of husbands, wives, men and women and children all waving goodbye. I think that maybe as he was even in Rome awaiting his execution, he probably sat back and was thinking about the fruit that remained. And so this is one of my favorite ones. Take time. Think about that. Think about what it was like to go out there. You know, those young children, they had stories to tell later in life when that first generation of the church was gone and now they were becoming the leaders of the next generation. They were telling people, oh, I was there as a child when Paul said goodbye, and just the presence of the Lord that was so real as we hugged and kissed him and he laid his hands upon us. Now let's go on to number 22. Acts 22, verse 17, Paul recounts praying in the temple and having a vision. And it says, it came to pass that when I had come again to Jerusalem, that while I had prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So from Jerusalem, he had left to go to Damascus in order to persecute Christians. His life was radically changed there. He became a man of prayer after seeing Jesus. Well, he comes back to Jerusalem, and here we have information that he doesn't include in Acts chapter 9. He says, I went into the temple. I began to worship God. The temple was a very important place to Jewish Christians. And while he was praying, he had he was caught up into a trance, and the Lord began to speak to him. So it's amazing. The life of prayer, a prayer that's real, pursuing the Lord and hungering after him, and the different things, how the Lord communes with us. And in this case, Paul needed some extra information, and the Lord caused him to go into a trance where he could talk to him and explain some things. So that's just powerful. Now let's go on. Number 23, Paul praying and giving thanks for food. Now I love this as well. You know, when I go out to eat, I always stop and say grace, pray over my food, and say thank you. I notice that in most restaurants, people around me, they don't really pray. It's really rare to find people bowing their heads and praying. But, you know, it doesn't matter where I am on the globe, I will always bow my head and pray and say thank you. Well, Paul was no different, but in this story, it's dynamic. Let's look at it. Acts 27 and 35. And when he had spoken to them, he took bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, they all began to eat. Now, these men were caught up in a terrible storm out in the Mediterranean, and most of them thought they were going to die. The reason of the storm wasn't Mother Nature. It was they didn't listen to Paul. Paul was on his way to Rome, but Paul had had some extra information about a storm and that they should stay behind in a port called the Fair Havens. Wasn't a good port. It was a shallow port. Wasn't a good wintering port. But he said, if we go out there, we could all die. We could lose the boat. It's not going to be good. They didn't listen to him. So now they're really in the heart of this storm, and they're worn out. They hadn't been eating. They were wearied because of the storm. They were wearied for energy. And hear this man a prayer. He gives them the word of the Lord. The angel of the Lord has been standing around me, and the word of the Lord is God's going to deliver us. And as he's taking authority in the situation, he says, now let's all pray. Most of those men were pagans. They had never seen a prayer meeting to the living God. Now, the other thing is, in good weather and in happier times, anybody can pray to God or pray to their idol. But this was a storm, a very serious storm. Not too many people pray during those situations. But Paul, full of faith and encouragement, took the bread and began to bless it and began to command them, it's time to eat. And you know what happened? The presence of God came down, and those men, those pagan men, were forever touched by the faith and the prayer life of this man, Paul. You know, we need to be men of prayer like that, where we can stop in the midst of trouble and command attention through prayer. Powerful. That's the people that that the Lord is raising up in this time. So remember, creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's exactly what was happening here. He was taking dominion and was demonstrating the authority of a child of the living God, a son of the living God. Oh, I love it. And now, number 24. This is the last one. Don't you love prayer? Let's look at it. Paul praying before he laid hands on the sick. Acts 28, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. When Paul had entered in, he prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, this is the last reference to prayer in the book of Acts. Jesus commanded his disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel. In Christ's great commission, he commanded the disciples, that's you and me, to lay hands on the sick. Now, the thing is, Paul had never known Jesus in the flesh, not like Peter, not like James and John. But what we see here is that great commission that Jesus had declared, just as it was powerful in Peter's life, it was powerful in Paul's life. And that grace that was operating in Peter, who knew the Lord, it was operating in Paul, who didn't know the Lord in his flesh. He had never seen Jesus go out and lay hands on the sick and heal them. He never saw that. But he was operating by faith. He was outside the land of Eretz Israel, the land at the borders of Israel. He was in a Gentile nation, and he was operating in the power of the gospel. So here he is. Before he ministers, he takes time to pray. And I believe that's so important. It showed Publius, it shows those in the room, that Paul wasn't just walking in there in a confidence in his own ability. He humbled himself and began to pray. He was setting the foundation of humility so that in that communion with the Lord, that when there was a release of the Spirit of God, he turns and he begins to administrate the Lord's healing power. Oh, very powerful. Now, though this is the last reference to prayer, as we said in the book of Acts, it's not the last prayer prayed, and that's powerful. Talking to God is the very reason that man was created. And the book of Acts is a historical record of men that walked and talked with God in the earth and were turning the world upside down. You know, as you study church history and for the last 2,000 years, history that came after these men, you find men of prayer. Men that were so possessed with a spirit of prayer that a move of God came into the earth and there were great revivals of religion. The power of praying men and women. That's the time that we live in now. If we will give ourselves to prayer, learning just like Jesus, one of his prayers was binding darkness and releasing the Holy Spirit. If we begin to give ourselves into prayer, I believe that before Christ comes, we'll be a part of such a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit where there is a harvest of souls unlike this world has ever seen. Get into the school of Acts. Study the book of Acts. Get it on the inside of you and begin to implement what you learn. Don't listen to these just one time. Listen to them. Let them run. Listen to the scriptures and the accounts and begin to conform your life in Christ into the book of Acts. We love you. Go to our website, www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And there's training. Go to the School of Evangelism. Go to the different tabs, podcasts. We have information there so that you can keep edifying yourself, keep being trained. And until we meet again in the next module, we love you. God bless you. And bye-bye.